I forgot about. All right, I'm glad I'm back to it. This is John 8, and we'll start reading with verse 30 and go through verse 59. So let us stand out of reverence for the reading of the Word of God. John 8, 30. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's offspring, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You're doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, We're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now that we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste of death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You may be seated. Remember who Jesus is addressing here. Now, one of the things I like about the New American Standard Version, it uses properly quotation marks. So you know who's talking. So whenever you read out of the New American Standard Version, always keep up with the quotation marks. And in this particular section, Jesus is addressing, now listen, believers who are not really believers. He's addressing believers who are not really believers. You remember how what it said back there in verse 30? It said, verse 30, they were seeking therefore to seize him, and his laid his hand on him because his hour had come, and yet, that's chapter 7, no wonder I was stumbling over it. Verse 30, and as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him, and Jesus therefore was saying to these Jews who had believed in him, so you see, he's talking to the very people that John's talking about. And he says some of the most terrible things about these people who believed him ever to be found in Holy Scripture. These are people who thought they were believers. John says they had a kind of faith that they was self-produced. They agreed with some of the things Jesus said. They liked to hear him talk because nobody could speak like that man. They were entertained by this man who could do great tricks of healing people, sort of like a freakish sideshow. And so they followed him by the thousands everywhere he went. And they thought of themselves as believers. And then Jesus goes on in the text that we just read to show without a shadow of doubt they were not. They had a kind of faith that they produced themselves, but they did not have the kind of faith that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, a saving faith that brings us into contact with Christ. So I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. The title of my sermon is Why All Human Beings Need Jesus. And I think if Jesus were to come to America today, he would preach the same thing to the church. Because what do we have in the church today? We have believers who are not really believers. They think they are. They profess to be. They like a lot of things about Jesus. They love his compassion and things like that. But when you really get down to it, these people who think of themselves and other people think of them as believers are not believers at all, but are children of the devil. Evangelical churches, Reformed churches, liberal churches. The church in America is full of believers who are not really believers. Now, before we look at Jesus' comments to them, let me say another thing. Jesus is not being mean here. I mean, he says some direct things. You're liars, you're of your father the devil, etc. He's not being mean. He's not being harsh. He's not being unloving. He's being extremely merciful. He could have just shut his mouth and not said a thing to them, let all these people go into hell. But he still is standing before them preaching the gospel to them. There's still time for them to accept him. If they would believe the things that he's telling them about themselves, there's still time for them to come to Christ in faith and repentance. So Jesus isn't being mean here. He is being direct, but he's being very merciful by exposing what these people are really like in their hearts. They think themselves one thing. They think they have high religious privileges. They're special in the sight of God. They don't have anything to worry about after death. But in reality, they're all lost and under the condemning judgment of Almighty God. Now notice what Jesus says to these people to show them that they're not really believers. He said in verse 30, many came to believe in him. And of course, remember what John's doing in his gospel. John wrote this gospel that people might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and Messiah and Savior of the world, and in believing have life in his name. So you think John would get excited when all these people would be believing. Well, because that's the goal of his book. He wants people to make sure they understand there's such a thing as fake faith. There's such a thing as counterfeit believing. And you better make sure, if you're going to believe in Jesus, that it's a real faith that God gives, or there will be no eternal life attached to it. So you examine your own life. Are you a believer who's not really a believer? You see yourself as one. You go to sleep at night thinking of yourself as one. You think, if I die in my sleep, I go to heaven. Other people think I'm a believer. But in reality, you're not. How do you know if you are or not? Well, let's see what Jesus says. Jesus says to all these people who believed in him, verse 31, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, now he's not making a condition here. He's not saying to them, if you do this, then you'll be my disciples. He's saying, here's how my disciples live. And so he says, if you abide in my word, not then you will become my disciples, but then you are truly disciples of mine. You call yourselves disciples now, you call yourself believers. Well, here's what real disciples of mine do. They abide in my word. And if you're not abiding in my word, you have absolutely no reason to call yourself my disciple or a believer or a Christian, no matter how sincerely you believe that. Now, what is it to abide in my word? To believe his message. To obey his message. The message of the gospel, the message of the Bible, to believe it, to walk by it, to trust in it, to make it your worldview, to make it the standard of all your actions and all of your decisions. So that the most important thing in all of life is to bring your every thought into captivity to Jesus' word. That's what a disciple does. He just doesn't have good emotions and good feelings. He just doesn't profess to be a Christian and say, yo, I was baptized. Yeah, I'm a member of a church. Jesus said, that means absolutely nothing. I want to know, are you abiding in my word? Are you living by my counsel and my wisdom and my laws? Are you seeking to bring your life and your desires and your thinking and your behavior and all your relationships into conformity to what I command of you? That's what my disciples do. You're not doing it, believers who think you're believers. So you're not really my disciples. Moreover, he says in verse 32, as he finishes the sentence, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To these people who said they were believers, you're not abiding in my word, but if you know the truth, the truth shall make you free. Now, by truth, he doesn't mean basic philosophy of life. He's the truth. Remember what he said in what John says about him in John 1? He says he's full of grace and truth. What did Jesus say about himself in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no truth outside of Christ. Jesus said, the Bible says about Jesus, that in him is deposited all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I often have people tell me, well, I wish we could, I would put my children in public schools. If we could get back like public schools were in the 50s, and they didn't have all the wild radical stuff in the 50s in public schools that they have in public schools today. Well, you get rid of all the radical. I mean, that's true. When I grew up in public schools, didn't have all the radical things. I can remember the night of our graduation, you're supposed to spend the night out with all your friends all night long. And the worst thing I saw any of my non-Christian friends do that night was drink a little beer and act drunk. Today, there's all kinds of evil that takes place. But even if you remove all the radical things in public schools, from the very beginning, the worst things about public school has already always been there. And that is, you can get a good education without Christ and the Bible. That's it. I mean, they might be good for funerals and weddings and things like that. But you can get a good handle on life. You can understand yourself. You can have an understanding of the universe, and you don't need Christ in the Bible to do it. You don't need Christ in whom is deposited all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You don't need Christ who is the truth, who is full of grace and truth, to know truth. You can't know truth. You say, well, I got my own version of the truth. Well, that means nothing. There's not such a thing as my truth and your truth. There's truth. And there's lies. And Jesus said, I am the truth. And if you know the truth, not if you have a good education, not if you have a good philosophy of life, not if you're able to piece the facts together, but if you know the truth, that truth will set you free. From what? Well, there's no such thing as freedom without Christ either. And what does it mean? And you can't be free unless you're set free from Christ. You're not born free. You're not born a noble savage that's influenced and corrupted by this wicked environment. You're not free until Christ sets you free. You know the truth. The truth shall make you free. What is real freedom? What is liberty? Today, you ask the average person on the street that question, and he will say, it's the ability to do whatever I want. Well, number one, nobody has that type of thing. Everybody has certain restraints on his life, but that's not what liberty is. That's slavery. Liberty is to be free and have the desire to do whatever God wants of you. That's real freedom. And without Christ, you will not be free from your desire to live for yourself or put yourself first. You'll not be free from fear of death. You'll not be free from a tyranny of sin over your life. You will not be free from the control of Satan in your mind and in your heart unless you know Christ. It's only when you know the truth that the truth shall set you free. I remember that... what's the singer in the 80s and 90s, had the curly hair, almost monotone voice, sang off key, but I loved him. Bob Dylan. You know, he had a Christian phase. In the 90s, he had a Christian phase, and he wrote some songs that were Christians. He left that phase after a while. But then one of his songs was, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. Everybody is somebody's slave. You can't escape it. No matter how much you think you can, you cannot escape slavery to somebody. If you're not a Christian, if you're a fake believer, you are a slave to yourself, to your own passions and desires, a slave to the sinful desires of your heart, and most of all, a slave of Satan himself. And you will continue to serve him unless Jesus makes you free. And when Jesus sets you free, you become his slave. And that's the greatest slavery in the world. But everybody's going to serve somebody. Maybe the devil or it may be the Lord. And only Christ can set you free. So they're all mad now, this crowd that believed in him. They're mad. Verse 33, they answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free?" I mean, that is one of the most self-deceived statements I've ever read in any book in my entire life. We've never been slaves to anybody in our whole history as Jews. Not even Egypt or Babylon or Persia or Greece or presently Rome. I mean, why do they say that? What makes you think we need freedom from something? We've never been slaves of anybody, and they were slaves of Rome at that very moment while they spoke, and they knew it. That shows you how sin will deceive you. How that if you do not believe the truth, you can convince yourself into believing the most ridiculous of things. I'm okay. I'm safe. I'm not as bad as the Bible says I am. Why do you think we need freedom? We've never been enslaved to any nation in over 1,000 years. And that's the history of Israel in the Old Testament. From one slavery to another. So how can you tell us we're Abraham's offspring? We're special. We can claim blood kin all the way back to Abraham. We got his DNA in us. Nobody's going to enslave us. We are super special. There is no race like ours. All other races are inferior. Ours is so superior and so unique. We have been, nor will we ever be, anybody's slaves. You know one of the things that crucified Jesus? Racism. The Jews, who thought they were believers, saying, we are special. We can claim relationship to Abraham. And there's no every other people, every other race on the face of this earth is inferior. So who do you think you are, Jesus? Telling us that we're just like everybody else. And so Jesus says in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, get this down. This is important. You're missing the point. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Everyone, Mr. Abraham's children. Every Jew, every blood relative of Abraham, every non-Jew, every Gentile, everybody upon the face of the earth that lives under the dominance of sin is a slave to sin and therefore will be a slave to all kinds of other people. Now, don't misunderstand verse 34. Where Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave of sin. That means if you sin once, you're a slave of sin. That's not what he's saying. You notice it's written in the present tense, whoever commits sin. A verb in the present tense denotes continuous action. So whoever continuously sins has the dominant note in his life. He loves it. He does it. He can't keep from doing it. He doesn't care whether he sins or not. Is a slave of sin. And sin is the real tyrant in his life. It determines everything he does, his actions, his thoughts, his dreams, his behavior, his responses. So Jesus is saying to these people, you're Abraham's children. Okay. In a minute he says, I'm going to grant you that. But you're still a slave without Christ, without Jesus. Only the truth can set you free. Verse 35, and the slave doesn't remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. In other words, he's saying, okay, being Abraham's physical descendants, I'll grant you, you have certain benefits. But you're still slaves. And a slave in a house might have certain benefits. But they can sell him or kick him out or kill him anytime they want to. He has no security. He has no future. Whereas the real son in the house is going to live there for his whole life. He's the heir of the house. And so Jesus says in verse 36, if therefore the son, now look at verse 35, and the slave does not remain in the house forever, the son does remain forever. I was so tempted as I studied this passage to think that phrase in verse 35 is talking about the son, capital S, because the next verse, 36, talks about the son. But I couldn't do it because the grammar doesn't allow for it. The slave has no security for the future, even though he has some physical benefits of living in the house. But the son of the father has full inheritance and benefits throughout all eternity. And I am the son par excellence. And therefore, if the Son of God incarnate shall make you free, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you shall be free indeed. I can set you free from the slavery of sin, which no man can do. See, the only thing they thought of was political freedom from the oppression of Rome. That's all they wanted. Jesus said, that's not my big concern right now. You're a slave to your sin, and I'm the only person that can set you free from the worst slave of all. And then he says a very interesting verse in verse 37. I know you are Abraham's offspring. Now, wait a minute. Galatians 3 says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring and an heir of the promises, regardless of ethnic origin. So one thing the book of Galatians says is the only people who are truly Abraham's offspring are those who belong to Christ by faith. So who's right? Jesus or Paul? Paul says Abraham's offspring are those who believe in Christ, regardless of who they're related to. And Jesus is looking right here at these fake believer Jews, and he's saying, okay, I'll give it to you. You are Abraham's seed. You're Abraham's offspring. Now, how do you put those two together? Well, they were physically. They were the offspring of Abraham. They could trace their genealogy back to Abraham. That is true. But they were not spiritually his seed, as you're going to see what Jesus said. They were physically his seed, but they weren't spiritually his seed, and that's the most important thing. Having his blood in their veins is not the important thing. The important thing, as Jesus is going to say, is you do what Abraham did, not simply claiming blood kin to him. Verse 37, I know you're Abraham's offspring physically, and yet you seek to kill me. Because my word has no place in you. Now, only God can say something like that. Because only God can see the heart. He says, I know you're not really disciples. I know you're not real believers. I know you're not spiritually Abraham's children. Because you're seeking to kill me. And there's no room in my heart, in your heart, for me and my word. It's not that my word is too hard to believe. You don't want it. It has no place in your thinking. You think you can get along perfectly well without it and understand life without it and get a good public education without it. You have no place in your heart for my word. So it doesn't matter then who you're related to or what religious privileges you have. Verse 38. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Now let me read to you what it says in Greek. I speak the things which I have seen in the presence of my Father. Now this is a 33-year-old man. And he's saying, I have been in the presence of my Father in heaven. And he has told me certain things to say. I mean, he's claiming to be God again. I have been in the very presence of my Father in heaven, and I speak the things I've seen in that fellowship with him from all eternity. He's not a mere man. Oh, now he says something that is, they don't know how to take it. He says, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. Doesn't say who their father is. So they're starting to get worried now. This guy is going to get worse rather than better. He said, I'm doing what I learned from my father, and you're doing what you learned from your father, but you didn't learn it from Abraham, so therefore Abraham is not your father. Verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is too our father. We just told you that once. They felt a pinch. And Jesus says, no, you're not. If you're Abraham's children, you do the deeds of Abraham. What were the deeds of Abraham? Believing in him. I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. What were the things that Abraham did that Jesus is talking about? Let's just look at a few verses. Stay in chapter 3 of Galatians. Read verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So the real sons of Abraham and daughters are those who do what Abraham did, and that is he believed in Jesus. He believed in him as the Savior. He said he believed that when God said concerning his son Isaac, that in your seed, every family of the earth will be blessed. And he was looking forward to that seed being the Messiah himself. And so Jesus says, if you are Abraham's children, you'd act like Abraham. Verse 40, but as it is, you're seeking to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham would not do. Abraham would not destroy the future. Abraham would not seek to eradicate his messianic hope. Abraham believed that Isaac was the child of promise, and through Isaac, all the nations of the world would be blessed, because Isaac would be the great, 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 great granddaddy of the Savior of the world. But you're trying to kill me. That's exactly the opposite of what Abraham would have done. I'm telling you the truth. Abraham would have believed that truth. He did believe the truth. Verse 41. But you, believing Jews who claim to be my disciples and the children of Abraham, you're doing the deeds of your father. He still hadn't told them who their father is yet. You're doing the deeds of your father. And then they come back with this terrible response. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. Implying, like you. There was always rumors among the Jews of that day about Jesus' conception. That he was an illegitimate son. And there's no argument. Forget argument. Forget rational conversation. We were not born of fornication. Like you. Now what they also could have been saying, because in the Old Testament, immorality is used as a metaphor for apostasy. Spiritual adultery is illustrated in physical adultery. So they could have been saying to Jesus, Jesus, we are not apostate. We're not living in rebellion against you. You're the thread of true religion. We have one Father, even God. God's our Father. We're not going to compromise on that. There is only one God in the entire universe, the creator of the world, and he is especially our Father. Not your Father. Our Father. Not the Canaanites' Father. Our Father. Not other races' Father. Our Father. So don't try to confuse us on this. So Jesus says in verse 42, said to them, if God were in fact your father, you would love me. And because you don't love me, but you're trying to kill me, it's proof positive God's not your father. I can hear them arguing right now. Modern people. You say that to modern people today. They would say, well, God created us all, didn't he? Yeah. He's the creator of all human beings, but he's not the father of all human beings. God reserves that relationship only for those who believe in his son and abide in his word. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. So he says, yeah, you say God is your father. No, he's not. That's another way in which you're completely self-deceived. Because if you love God and knew God as your father and he was really your father, you would love me because I'm his son. Now, you say that same thing to your friends today. That's how you witness to people. Everybody today believes in God. You ask, do you believe God your father? The average person would say, yeah, of course I do. Do you love Jesus? Well, then God's not your father. Because if God was your father, you would love Jesus. And if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. I lived in the presence of God. I've come from God into this world. I haven't even come on my own initiative. I came because God sent me. How many times has John emphasized that in the mouth of Jesus? God sent me on this earth to save sinners. Verse 43, he asked them, why do you not understand what I'm saying? And then he answers his own question. It is because you cannot hear my word. You're listening to my voice, but you cannot hear what I'm saying. Because your heart is full of rebellion against me, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you can do absolutely nothing to please God, and so in your own natural sinful state, as long as you're a slave to sin and simply claim blood relation to Abraham, it's impossible for you to hear my voice in any kind of believing and obeying way. You cannot do it. Not simply you will not do it. But you see, that's what you remember about your friends as you witness to them, and they refuse you. Don't get frustrated. Don't get impatient. Pity them. They can't hear you. How much hearing can a dead man do? You look down at a corpse. I used to say a dead corpse until I realized that's the only kind there is. You look down at a corpse and you say, Mr. Corpse, I'll give you $100 if you raise your right hand. Nothing. Say, well, maybe I'm not talking loud enough. Mr. Corpse, $100, raise your hand. Nope. Well, maybe I need to offer a little more and talk a little louder. Mr. Corpse, $1,000 if you raise your hand. Nothing. And you say, well, maybe I'm making the demands too much. Mr. Corpse, $1,000, wiggle your finger. Nothing. Why? He's dead. And that's the truth of all of your non-Christian friends. And if you can hear it all, it's because Jesus has healed the eardrums of your heart that you have burst deliberately. They didn't want to hear these words. They knew what the consequences would be. They knew what the demands would be. They knew they would have to change their religion. They knew they'd have to change their relationship to Jesus Christ. They knew they'd have to change their behavior. We don't want to hear you. Jesus says, you can't hear me unless I open your ears. Verse 44, then he comes in with guns blazing. Finally, he tells them who the real father is. You, this is loving Jesus. gentle, loving, meek Jesus. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. Now, first of all, I want you to notice Jesus believed there was such a person as Satan or the devil. It wasn't simply a figment of his imagination. It's not simply the personification of evil. It's not just a myth that originated in medieval theology. It's not simply something you tell children to scare them into behaving. Jesus believed there was a thinking, intelligent person called Satan. He challenged him on many cases, spoke to him. And this is Jesus. This is God. This isn't a mere man. This is God talking, and he's saying to you, there is such a person as Satan in this world. And Jesus came to set you free from him. And he's the only person that can set you free from Satan. And he says to these people who are deaf spiritually, self-deceived, you're simply wanting to do what your father desires for you to do. You think you're expressing your own free will. You think you're following the desires of your heart. I say to you that you're doing what Satan wants you to do. And then he talks about Satan, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. When he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he knew what he was doing. If I can tempt Adam and Eve to sin against God, they will die. And my seduction will have killed them. The image of God. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Jesus said, I'm the truth. There's not even a grain of truth in anything Satan says or anything Satan is. Whenever Satan speaks, it is the lie, it says in Greek. It is the lie whenever he speaks. Why do you think they said the lie? What was the lie that Satan wanted Adam and Eve to believe in the Garden of Eden? That you, Adam and Eve, can determine good and evil for yourself without any reference to God. And that's what he's been tempting people with ever since. You can make up your own mind. You can determine what's right and wrong, what's good and evil. You don't need God or the Bible. Nothing he says is the truth. Everything he says is the advancement of that lie. He speaks from his own nature. There's nothing good about him. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And you're like your father, the devil. And you're lying just like he is. That's why these believers are not real believers. They're liars, murderers, because they have the same nature as their father. But because, verse 45, but because I speak the truth, you don't believe me. Satan speaks to you lies, seduces you with lies. You believe everything he tells you. I'm coming to you from God, and I'm speaking the truth. And you don't believe a word that I'm saying. Verse 46. Boy, if this isn't direct. This is what you tell your friends today. He says to all these fake believers, which one of you convicts me of sin? I'll give you the opportunity now. I'll let you give your best shot. And he talks to all these hundreds of people. They don't like him. They think he's a deceiver. And they said, all right, anybody here, can you convict me of any sin in my life? Not only allege that I committed a sin, but can you prove that I have committed any sin in my whole life? What a challenge. I'm never going to offer that challenge to anybody. But Jesus could stand before this whole crowd of hundreds. Anybody here? convict me of a sin? No. Complete silence. So then, if I'm sinless, and I am the truth, and I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? That's the way you witness. And then Jesus says, verse 47, here's why you don't believe me. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you're not of God. Here's why you don't believe me. I already told you once. You can't hear me. Here's why. You're not of God. That he hasn't called you to himself. He has not healed you. He's not saved you. He's not made a new creature out of you. You are not of God. You're of your father, the devil, because anybody who is of God hears and obeys the words of God. Where do you hear the words of God? In this book. How can you tell whether or not you are of God or a fake believer who thinks he's a believer? You hear and obey the words of God in this book. You believe these are the words of God. You cannot believe in Jesus and not believe that the Bible is the words of God. If you do believe in him, you're going to want to hear and believe and obey the words of God found in Holy Scripture. But he repeats himself. It's for this reason you don't hear the words of God. You're not of God. You see yourself as a believer. You see yourself as a child of Abraham. But you are not of God. You are of your father, the devil. How does he know? You would hear and love and obey the words of God. And if you don't love and hear and obey the words of God, you are of your father, the devil, because you certainly aren't of God. You can imagine what these Jews are. I mean, their belief is, the fake belief is just fading away now. The Jews answered him and said to him, do we not say rightly that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? Now, we know Jesus was not a Samaritan. Calling Jesus a Samaritan was the most disgusting thing they could call a man, these Jews. They hated Samaritans. Samaritans were half-breeds. Calling somebody a Samaritan in the first century was like using the N-word. As disgusting as you can possibly call this man. You're just a Samaritan. You're not even a real Jew. You're not a special race. You're not a child of Abraham. You are a Samaritan. And besides that, you're demon-possessed. I love Jesus' answer. He doesn't even deal with the charge that he's a Samaritan. He doesn't say, no, I'm not. I mean, doesn't even deal with it. That's not a big thing to him at all. You see, they're racists. But he does want to settle. I'm not demon-possessed. That's one of the most wicked and stupid things you've ever said, crowds. I don't have a demon. A demon wouldn't honor my father. You dishonor me, so you're the one that has a demon, not me. But I do not seek my own glory. I'm not a megalomaniac. I'm not in this just to get praise for myself. There's one who seeks and judges, and he glorifies me. And that's the one you call your father is really my father. Verse 51. He's not making it easy for him. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone, Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, anybody, if anyone keeps and believes and obeys my word, he shall never see death. Oh, he might die physically, but he'll never see and experience eternal death and all the horror that goes with it. The Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. What you just said proves our point. You said if anybody keeps your word, he'll never see death, but Abraham died. Prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they died. But you said if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham, are you?" What a question to ask the Son of God. We know the real answer. Of course he is. You are not as great as our father Abraham. And he says to them, verse 54, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God." He's my Father. He's my God. And the person you claim as your God is glorifying me, his Son, and you want to kill me. Verse 55, "And you have not come to know him." These Jews took great pride in their knowledge of God. And Jesus said, "You don't even know him. I know him. And if I say that I don't know him, I'll be just like you, a liar. But I do know him. I've lived in his presence throughout all eternity. I keep his word." Verse 56, and he says to them, "Your father," physically, "Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad." The person you're trying to kill, your father Abraham, rejoiced in knowing that I was coming. And he knew that I would come. And he was overjoyed by the fact that one of his descendants will be the Savior of the world. And you are trying to kill me. And you're telling me you're the sons of Abraham. Verse 57. This is telling. "The Jews therefore said to him," they're just grasping straws now. "The Jews therefore said to him, 'You're not even 50 years old. How do you say you've seen Abraham?'" Now, not only was he not 50, he wasn't even 40. He wasn't even 35. He was 33 years old. So why'd they say, "You're not even 50 years old. How do you tell us you knew Abraham?" What that tells me is Jesus looked older than he really was because of bearing the sins of the world. So here's Jesus' great answer, clincher, final point. Jesus said to them, pay close attention now. I'm going to tell you something that you're going to go to hell if you don't believe. "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Not "I was." I want you quickly to turn with me to Exodus 3. We keep talking about how the word Jehovah means "I am." I want you to see it in black and white. Moses is called to stand before Pharaoh. God calls him, and Moses says, "Who am I going to say? What's your name, Lord?" Verse 13. Then Moses said, chapter 3 of Exodus. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. I shall say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Jews who call themselves believers and disciples and children of Abraham, tell them, Ego Eimi has sent you. Tell them, I am has sent you. She's looking at the same people. You want to know how I could have seen Abraham? I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am Jehovah in human flesh. Your God, the one you claim to be your father, I am Jehovah in human flesh, and you're not my sons. You are of the children of your devil, of the devil. Therefore, they picked up stones. The temple wasn't completed yet, so there was still a lot of stones laying around. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. But it doesn't say Jesus hid himself. It says Jesus was hidden. When something's passive, it means the subject is being acted upon. And Jesus was hidden by the providence of Almighty God to keep them who couldn't hear him from even seeing him, because his hour had not yet come. And so he left the temple. The temple, the primary symbol for the presence of God and fellowship with him, the sanctuary of God, where in the Old Testament the glory of God shone in all of its brilliance. He left the temple. So, I ask you, are you a believer who's really not a believer? Are you someone that takes confidence in all of your religious speciality, religious privileges, but you don't abide in the Word of God? You claim to be a Christian, but you don't seek to bring your life into conformity to the words of God revealed in Holy Scripture? Out of a love for Christ, who is your Savior and your Lord? When you think of Jesus, do you think of some pathetic person that's sweet and kind and loving? Which he was, sweet and kind and loving. Or do you think of someone who could actually say it before Abraham was? Now, we're talking 2,000 years earlier. Before Abraham was, I am. And I will always be, I am. Because I am the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of the world in human flesh, whom the Father sent to earth to save wretched people like you and me, who will not hear unless he opens our ears. So if you believe in Jesus today, make sure your life fits your faith and understand that you believe for one reason. That is because God opened the ears of your heart. Otherwise, you would still be in rebellion against God throughout all eternity. Let us pray. We stand in awe before this Jesus. We see, Lord, afresh why the whole human race needs this Jesus. Why we need him. May we realize that there's no truth, no freedom outside of him. No salvation outside of him. Lord, may our testimony and our true motto of our life be that of Paul. For to me, to live is Christ. You summarize my life in one word. For me to live is Christ, and to die is to simply receive more of him. In his name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith.